We talked this morning about our theme, which is leveling up. And tonight I want to look at something that really would keep us from leveling up and how we can avoid this, this thing I'm going to talk about, which would keep us from leveling up or really being successful this year. And I want to help us to avoid destruction and slowing us down in 2025. There's certain things in life that just don't work, and they make success unattainable. And so this thing, particularly from a spiritual standpoint, which I'm gonna talk about, it's death. When it comes to growing, when it comes to what we're trying to accomplish as Christians in our life, it would absolutely kill us. If we don't fight this in our life, it'll cause us grief. It'll hold us back from being everything that God wants us to be. It's really when it comes to equality, it's the number one killer of relationships. This quality, if it's not checked, makes us miserable, and really it derails our relationship with God. And so I want us to see that from the book of Leviticus tonight. In Leviticus and all the law books, God's laying down his principles for living. And I mentioned it over and over throughout the law books. He's trying to prepare them as they will be going into the promised land. Certain laws they had to keep, certain principles and so forth. Leviticus deals a lot with the sacrifices that they would have to offer and those type of things. And so God's trying to remind them of these things. When they would arrive in the promised land, God wanted them to be successful. In fact, he had laid out and given them everything they would need to be successful, to have blessings, and to have joy. But, as I've mentioned before, all of that would be tied in and related to their obedience to God's laws. And so the warning here is what would happen if they did not obey. One of the key things God would cut out from under them, that would cut these things out from under him, was this attitude that God talked about. Look at verse 19, if you would. He says in chapter 26 and verse 19, he goes, "And I will break the pride of your power." And we're going to continue to look at that in a minute. But God had told them everything good that would happen would come from God. Whether it was victory in war, whether it was prosperity, whether it was even the crops that they grew. And what God did not want them to do is start relying upon themselves for these things. To quit looking at the things they had and thinking they did not need God's help. Continue on. And he goes, "I'll break the pride of their power." In other words, these things they could look at, and God said, I can totally disrupt everything. "And I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as a brass." He's talking about the prosperity that they would have from the crops and the land. That was their primary source of prosperity, really. And God was giving them lands that he said would be fruitful, right? And lands that were already planted and ready to go. And God said, if you have pride and you're relying on yourself because you got good lands, he goes, I'll make the heavens like iron and the earth like brass. In other words, I'll mess up your crops. You'll have famine, even though you may have the best land and you might be in the best climate. I can totally derail that if you have pride in your life. And that's what he's talking about. If they're having pride, and everything would go bad. "And your strength shall be spent in vain," verse 20, "for your land shall not yield or increase. Therefore, the trees of the land yield their fruits." They won't yield their fruits. What he was saying is, like, you go out there and you can work and work and work and work yourself into the ground, and nothing good is going to happen because you're relying on yourself. If you look back at verse 16, he talks a little bit about these things that could cause them to have this selfishness. He says, "And I will also do this unto you. I will even appoint unto you terror, consumption, the burning argue, that thou shalt consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies shall eat it. See, selfishness comes in, and we start to say that we know what is best. We know what is better. We want to be in control. We feel like if we're in control of things, things will be better. And the fact of the matter is, all it is saying, my way over God's way. And God says, if you look at verse 16 there, he says, there's going to be some problems. I will appoint over you terror. There's going to be emotional turmoil. By the way, if you look at our society, there are a lot of, and I'm not discounting them, but there's a lot of emotional distress that people feel. And I think one of the things that would help is God. See, because when we're trusting in ourselves and things don't go well, things are out of our control, and that causes fear. But when we trust the Lord, we don't have to worry about that. We know God is in control. He talks about consumption. These are physical problems that would come their way. They talked about discouragement, sorrow of heart. I mean, people are not just emotional, they're sad. Loss of effort. You sow your seed in vain, and he says, and your enemies are going to eat it. You remember in the book of Judges when God called Gideon to fight against the Midianites. Gideon was threshing the wheat at night because the Midianites would come in when the crops were ready and would take their harvest from them. And that was because of their rebellion from God. And God gave them deliverance through Gideon for that. And so he talks about all these things. But even worse, look at verse 17. This is the area that it affects the most. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursues you. It talks there about their nation would be in peril because God would allow their enemies free reign over them when God would rebuke their enemies. Fact of the matter, give them victory in war if they just followed him. Verse 18, and if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then will I punish you seven times more for your sin. Now you say this all sounds rather harsh. You understand God's giving them both sides of the coin. God's saying, look, there are two ways you can choose here. You can follow me and you'll have all of these things, or you can disobey me because of your pride, because of your self-reliance, and you can lose out on all of this. Now, here's the deal. That is literally how it works today. It's the same thing that was peddled in the Garden of Eden. You can be in control of your life. You don't need to rely on God. You can rely on yourself. After all, you are your own boss. This is the attitude, selfishness or pride, self-reliance, that God absolutely despises. It's in the seven, you know, the seven sins. I forget what they call it again, you know. God's hate list, right? God, I hate the, one of them is pride. God has always hated pride. Nothing more than self-reliance and not needing God. It's the thing that took Satan down. It's the thing that brought sin into this world. And it's the thing we all struggle with and can lead to problems. 1 John 2:16 in the New Testament says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. See, the world does not push us towards God. And I mean by world, I mean the society, the unsaved principles and philosophies that permeate this world. If you listen to them, they will not drive you to God. They drive you from God. They don't push you to trust in God for your life. They push you to trust in self. Right? And it says it's all of the world. Now, as we get into 2025, I want to make sure that we're not self-reliant. I want to make sure that we're not proud. I want to make sure that we are not selfish. That's technically what pride is. It's the selfish nature that says, I know what's best. It's all about me. No one tells me what to do. I know how to handle everything. And can I just tell you, you can't. And neither can I. We need more. And so with that as a starting point, I want us to look at six ways we can avoid this which would bring destruction to us in this new year. What we have to do is take that selfishness, that self-reliance, and replace it with these things. You ready? We'll go quick. Number one, I would say replace selfishness with trust. Okay, if you have your Bibles, this is where we're going to look at a few other verses. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. These are verses that we know well. But it's one thing to know verses well and to have them memorized as it is. That's one thing. The other thing is to actually listen to it and make it a part of our life. And so that's what we would want to do with this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." God shows us very carefully here how we can live the right path and how we can avoid this selfish, self-reliant pride that all of us fight. He lays it out very carefully. He says, first, we have to trust him. Trust in the Lord. You can't trust in God and trust in yourself. You know what most of us do? We trust in God until a really big decision needs to be made, and then we step out and we trust in self. Right? When push comes to shove, it's just a saying in our lives, but it needs to be there when everything is coming out and we need to make a decision. Trust in the Lord. Then he says, with all thine heart. We have to do it wholeheartedly. How often do we start to do something and trust to the Lord, and all of a sudden we start to waffle? How many know what I'm talking about? Is this really the right thing? And if God said it, it is the right thing. And so go with it with all of your heart. And then he says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Reject your own will. It's going to be there. There's going to be thoughts that come to your mind that say, this is the way to go. That's the best way to go. I've got this thing figured out. That's our own understanding. And here's the deal. Our understanding is extremely limited. God knows everything. We know very little. So why would we trust in our knowledge and in our understanding, which is limited, when we have a God who has infinite knowledge? And so we rebuke our own, like, no, I don't want to, I have to reject my own will. And that would lead us to acknowledging him in everything. God, you, not me. God, your ways, not mine. God, your decisions, not mine. God, your word, not mine. God, your truth, not mine. And we acknowledge him in everything we do. And then he just says, you know what he says? And he shall direct thy paths. So that leads the question. Sometimes we feel like, I don't think God's leading me. Could it be that we're not trusting in him? Could it be that we are leaning in our own understanding? Huh? Could it be that we are not trusting in him? We are not acknowledging him? It's hard for God to lead us when we're trying to lead ourselves. No, in fact, it's not hard. It's impossible. We have to trust him. That's what he wants. So we trust that what he knows is best. We believe it in our heart that he knows what is best. We do what he says. By the way, you know, the silliest phrase, and it's the number one phrase the world would believe is this: follow your heart. When someone says that, number one, it is super bad advice. And number two, anything else they say after that needs to be avoided. Okay? You know, Think about what your heart says when someone irritates you. Okay, you want to follow that, really? No, we don't follow our heart. The Bible says it's evil and it lies. Why would we follow that? If I said, here's someone up here that's going to give you some good advice. Now, I do need you to understand two things about this guy. He's evil. He breaks every law he can. Oh, and by the way, he's a liar. But you can trust him. That's your heart. Don't follow it. Okay? Here's the Bible thing. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I dare you just to think in your life of some decision that you made on your own and it didn't go well. And I'm not talking about, you made your own thought and it looked good and God was excluded from it and it didn't turn out well. We can all think of something, right? We have to trust him, because what we think and what we decide sometimes is not just best. How do you make decisions about your marriage? How do you make decisions about your career? What's the determining factor of the daily activities of your life? If you're younger and you're looking more towards your future, what helps you determine what you want to do and what you're going to be doing in the future? Where are you going to live? How are you going to live? What are you going, having children, how are you going to parent your children? These are all things we don't think about, but they're decisions that need to be made. And if we're not willing to trust God with those decisions, things may not turn out the way we think. Most of us trust what some person says rather than what the scripture says. Psalm 118 verse 8 says this, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Well, I heard, you know, I was going to say, I heard Dr. So-and-so say, but I guess I'm a doctor now. I heard Dr. Phil say this. God bless him. Was it in the Bible? Was he telling you something scripture? I was listening to some, you know, political dude on the radio, and he said this. Okay, and they're concerned. What does the Bible say? Because I know somebody might give advice sometimes, and it's good, but I know if God gives advice, it's always good. Number two. Let's replace selfishness with counsel. With counsel. I'm going to give you a couple verses. You can write them down and turn to them. Psalms chapter 119, verse 24 says, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Proverbs 11, 14, "Where no counsel is, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." The Bible tells us without counsel, we will fall. Where we can find it, he also tells us there, we find it in God's word and from spiritual people that will point us to God's word. All of us are going to come to a point in our life where you may have a decision to make, there might be something going on, and you're trying to do the right thing from God's perspective, and maybe you don't have the spiritual or the answer, or you think you have the answer. You ought to run it by someone that may be able to help you with that in a scriptural way, right? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know, especially if we're newer, hey, you know, this is a big decision. By the way, I would never make a big decision without getting counsel. You have to, okay? It's imperative. The reason we don't like to do that sometimes is because we feel that someone that's given us counsel may tell us something we don't want to hear. Now, I'm not talking about from personal preference, right? I mean, you know, I've had people come in, young people, I feel God wants me to do this or whatever, and I'm going to say, you know, if that's what you feel God needs to do, you need to do it. I'm not going to necessarily tell them what to do if I'm not sure, because I look at them and say, you got to live this. But if God's calling you to do it, you better do it, okay? Sometimes you need someone to just encourage you and talk to you about things. You have a problem, or maybe there's a specific need. And sometimes when we're going through something, we may know some of the pieces of the puzzle, but because we're going through things, there might be something we miss. And sometimes someone will give us that extra piece of the puzzle. Have you considered this? Have you considered what God said here? We need clarity. It is at times when we're going through there that we need to get counsel. David said in Psalm 119, "I get it through thy word." And by the way, if God says something in his word, you don't need counsel. Okay? If a young person were to come to me and you know, I want to date this person, but they're not a Christian. They're not for God. You don't need to ask me that. The Bible's done spoke about that. Okay? You can't be linked up. You're going to have, look, what happens is you're going to get married and you're going to have in-law problems. You want God to be a part of your family, and they don't care, and they could care less about that. God, so there's plenty of things the Bible already talks about, but maybe you don't see it. Why is it that we'll go get counsel from people in other areas, right? If you're sick, what do? You're going to go talk to a doctor. Talk to someone that understands illnesses, like, hey, what's going on? I need to know. If you have car trouble, right? You want to find a mechanic who can get it started, who can fix it. Remember, I was going to have a guy one time. He told me he was a mechanic and used to go to our church many years ago. Said, can you come look at my car? He goes, yeah. He goes, I don't know if I'll be able to make it today. My car's not running. And I thought, never mind. The mechanic's car doesn't work. It's not who you want. You know, you have issues at your home with wiring or something. You call an expert. Maybe you have technology problems. For me, I just call Brother Ross. Okay, get in here, fix this thing. But we all do that. Why don't we do that in the important areas of life? We're afraid sometimes because we're following our own advice. But we should never be fearful of getting advice and counsel from people. We make some of the most important decisions in our life, decisions that would really affect our future, our family, our faith, and we never one time talk to anybody or even look in the Bible or care to find out what it says. That's a very dangerous place to be. So we need that. Next, number three, we need to replace selfishness with protection. Protection. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As you're turning there, I want to read one verse in Proverbs. Proverbs 16:3. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This spirit that, you know, I can just do what I want, nothing bad's going to happen. God says that is the fastest way to have problems happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 goes, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Okay? Now, what's the biggest thing that causes us to fall? Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. These verses go together. Because if someone doesn't think that they need to take heed, if someone doesn't think that they need to be careful, that there are things that are come their way that are outside of them that they can't handle, they're going to get into big trouble. Because he says when the problem comes, temptation comes, God isn't going to allow something to come our way that we cannot handle. You say, well, what happens to a person that gets into a temptation that was too strong for them to handle? Well, usually it's because they put themselves under that temptation. Right? We say, well, you know, by the way, that's why the Bible tells us, you know, Jesus pray, deliver me from evil. That's best. Lead me not into temptation. We run as quick as we can into temptation. And let me just say this. When we are purposely running into temptation, there's no promise from God that we're going to get through it. You've put yourself in that position. That didn't go over very well, but that's okay. It's the truth. Well, you know, I used to drink and I got over drinking and I thought I had victory, but you know, I was hanging out with my friends and they were drinking and that's the problem right there. That's like saying, I'm giving up drinking and I'm going to go hang out at the bar. Okay? That's like saying, I want this, but I'm going to go hang out in a place where that's prevalent. No, but if we know that we can put ourselves in a bad spot, then we know we need to follow God, and we're not going to have this pride that we're bulletproof, and there's protection that comes from that. But when we think that we can handle everything, our guard is down, and we're going to walk head first into that which we cannot handle. Protection, remember, only comes as we forsake our own ways and we follow God's ways. If we go back to the trust, God directs our path. You think God is going to direct us into a godless path? Do you think God is going to direct us into something that we cannot handle? No, that's not the case. There's protection that comes when you trust in the Lord and you don't follow yourself. Because if we are inherently sinful, and if we inherently gravitate towards that which is wrong, then maybe we shouldn't follow that path. Maybe we ought to follow God's path and rebuke that. Number four, replace selfishness with a relationship. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11. Turn to there. This is a good verse. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11. He says this. He goes, thou will show me the path of life. I'm not following my own path. I'm going to trust you. You're going to show me the path. In thy presence, God's presence, is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you realize, I don't know what you're looking for in life. A lot of people are looking for significance. They're looking for security. And they're looking to be taken care of. They're looking for purpose. They're looking for meaning in life. And all of that is found only in our relationship with God. And so if you seek those things outside of a relationship with God, you can put a lot of effort in, but you may not get the joy. You may not get the pleasures because you're following your own path, and that's not going to take you to where that is. The Bible tells us that joy here and pleasure is found in God. You're not going to find it anywhere else. And people will do all kinds of crazy things looking for fulfillment, looking to be joyful, and they can't find it because it's not in what they're looking for. It's not found in money. It's not found in prestige. It's not found, you look, whatever it is. It's only found in a byproduct of a relationship with God. And yet we look everywhere else and we're becoming frustrated. And we're not going to the place. We're not going to the place where it is found. It is found in a relationship with God. We spend our lives pursuing all this nonsense. And by the way, if you're trying to find joy in something that's not secure, joy is fleeting. But if you find it in God, it's always there. You're trying to find purpose in this or that in life. You may go down the wrong path, and it's like, I've wasted my life, but you never waste your life when you're following God. Never. Quit looking at the online life and all the nonsense, and everybody looks happy, and everybody looks joyful. The story's not been told. That's the wrong path. But the relationship with God keeps us on the right path. Next, replace selfishness with submission. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. We know the story well, but there's a problem in this story. Genesis chapter 3, God had created man, God had created woman. He put them in the Garden of Eden. He said, you can eat any tree you want except that one. Just one. Stay away from it. You know how mankind is and you know how Satan is. Satan shows up and he's gonna try to divert that. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, she tells him, God said this, blah, 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 the day you eat it. He said, you should not surely die. By the way, Satan's not the guy to get counsel from. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. She says, He said, you're not going to lie. God's not being truthful. Then he says, God's holding out on you, because you're going to eat it. You're going to be like a God. You can decide what's right in your life and what's wrong in your life. Verse 6. Right there, the woman should have said, get out of here. I already got a word from God. I don't need to listen to you. But she turns. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, you know, it wasn't a tree like, you know, the roots were dying and there was no fruit on it and it's ready to fall over. I mean, the fruit on there looked good. Okay? And that it was pleasant to the eyes. It looked nice. A tree to be desired to make one wise. Man, if we eat it, it's going to have good results. She took the fruit thereof and did eat. And then she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. See, it's her fault. Everything is her fault. Just kidding. She should have just did what God said. I mean, when truth be told and an opportunity comes to do that, which God says we shouldn't do, we ought to just say no. Whatever happened to standing up? Whatever happened to that? You get online and you're in a group and someone starts spewing nonsense, stand up. I don't get that. Well, you know, Pastor, I just didn't want to offend these other Christians. If they're acting like knuckleheads, shouldn't someone, this is going over real well, shouldn't, by the way, let's just lay this out. You get on this, you get in, I know different things happen. You got little text feeds and your little friends or whatever, and someone throws something on there that's garbage. Why don't you say something? I mean, if there's 10 or 12 of you, you're telling me not one of you is a good Christian? Say, that's godless. Well, Pastor, I won't have many friends. No one likes you anyhow. I'm kidding, okay? I'd rather be disliked for the right reason. You know what that tells people? You're not serious. Look, this story here in Genesis 3 could have been easily avoided. The first time Satan said anything that contradicted God, she should have said, done with you. That would have been the deal. But you know, we're afraid to say things. And I'm not saying, look, we understand if someone doesn't know Jesus, they don't know the Bible, we don't need to argue with them. We don't need to listen if they're giving bad advice either, but we don't need to argue with them. But if you're with a group that they're pretending to be Christians, hey, let's go do this. It's like, excuse me? Where is there a man in the house? Is there a woman in the house? And yes, you can know which one you are. But we don't stand up. And so we we take steps down the road because we won't stand up. I just decided a long time ago, I'm just going to say something. Okay? If I'm not asked or it has nothing to do with me, but if I'm in a thing and someone says something stupid, I'm going to say, that's stupid. Oh, some of you don't like the word stupid. That's ill-advised. That's ignorant. How about just dropping a no? Because I would rather submit to God than please a person who's going down the wrong path. And by the way, if I was in a text feed and someone was being critical or being nonsensical, it's like, I'm out. And I know your name's going to pop up in the thing. So-and-so has left the conversation. Well, you know, I'm following this person. They're going to unfollow. Unfollow. I mean, I don't have a lot of social media. I got one. A guy was on there, and he changed his something about the word of God. I'm like, I'm done. Unfollow. Click. It was easy. I don't want to hear that stuff. Okay. But we have to submit to God. That's just it. I'd rather submit to him and say, no, this is a really bad idea. But see, the law, not just that, but in any situation, the longer we allow ourselves to remain in this path that may be going down the wrong road, like she did, we're getting closer and closer to the fruit. And she got so confused by everything he was saying that instead of remembering what God was saying, she took her eyes off of him and she looked at the tree. Game, set, match. Once she looked at the tree, it was over. Of course the fruit's going to look good. Of course it's going to, like, that looks delicious, right? So we submit. Then lastly, if we'll follow all of this, replace selfishness with peace. With peace. Okay, I don't even want to preach on this one because all of us are going to get convicted here. You ready? Proverbs 13, verse 10. Turn over there. I don't want you to think I'm just making it up. It doesn't just affect your relationship with God. It affects your relationship with others. Are you ready? Here we go. Only by pride cometh what? You know what contention is? In this corner, you know. In that corner. Arguments, fights. You know why people fight? Okay, let's be a little more pointed. You know why we fight? No, let's be true. You know why you fight? Pride. I'm right. Has it ever occurred to you that you're wrong? And sometimes we're fighting about things we don't need to fight about. But it's just rooted in pride. I mean, come on. Whenever we fight with someone, what we're saying is, I'm right. I want my way. And really what we're saying is, you know the little like sign like this? It's me and you. Okay? I'm greater than you. Every fight or argument I've ever been in is because of pride. Someone thinking they're right. And usually it's the other person. Just kidding. So pride causes us to have, you know, look, and by the way, I get it. Disagreements are part of life. I get all that. But in the heat of it, can you stop and think, is this something to, you know, to die on my sword on? Or am I just going, is this something that doesn't need that? That one of the things about getting older, I'm not old, I'm older. It's just things, and not that I've not arrived, trust me, speak my wife, she'll tell you. It's just that there's some things when I was younger that were just like, they're not a big deal anymore. And it's like, why, that's not a big deal. And the reason it was a big deal is because my wife was proud, I'll just be honest. She's not in here, she's in Patch the Pirate, I can say whatever I want. And if you tell her I said that, I'm gonna deny it. Just kidding. So, you know, that's just how it is. I've had people, excuse me, they'll have a disagreement. It's like, it's not a big deal if just one of them would kind of back up for a minute and look at the whole situation, they'd see it. And it's one thing to have a disagreement. It's another thing to not stop and look it through, think it through. You know what I'm talking about? Like, wait a minute, what really happened here? What was this all about? If we're not willing to do that, then that's where pride has come in. And what's going to happen is, you know, friendships, relationships of a lifetime can be destroyed. And so, what's the message tonight? There's nothing good about pride. There's nothing good about selfishness. There's nothing good about relying on myself and believing I'm everything. Fact of the matter is, it destroys everything. And it always has. And so as we get into this new year, let's make sure we kind of delete that from our lives. Let's work at, you know what, seeing things the way they should. I'm not the end all for everything. God should be. Let's stand together if we may, bow our head and close our eyes for just a minute. We're never going to level up if we're not able to fight one of our greatest enemies, self. Self. Pride started with Satan. Created as a perfect being. Living in a perfect environment with a perfect God. And that was not enough. I. And man has had eye problems all along the way. What about us tonight? How are we doing along that line? If we're going to beat it, we must trust the Lord. We must be willing to look for the truth, whether it's in the Word of God or from someone that can direct us. We must be willing to not trust in ourselves so we can have protection from that which is wrong. We must not allow pride to ruin our relationship with God. We must be willing to submit to that which is right when we want to fight it in our inner man. We must be willing to fight it if we want to have peace in the relationships that we have. Don't wreck this year with pride. Don't wreck this year by being your own boss, making your own way, doing your own thing. Let's not do that. Piano's gonna play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come?